Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, we got our answer. It's been a couple weeks now that the anti-Semitic protests have been raging across the country on college campuses in New York City, where they have been cheering for Hamas, chanting, "Hamas, we love you." Where they have been chanting death to America, death to Israel, burning American flags, assaulting Jewish students. Because as everyone knows, 19-year-old kids in New York City or in New Haven are responsible for a war 5,000 miles away. But we were wondering when the president, when the empty husk of a man in the White House would condemn these protests, condemn these people who are literally chanting death to this country. And finally, Joe Biden was out there, open to questions. He was wandering in the woods of Virginia with AOC and Ed Markey and Bernie Sanders, talking about Earth Day, which he claimed was the hottest day on record last year, which would be in April. Just another lie, just another gaffe. And he was also announcing we're going to have like 50,000 climate corps people. He's going to hire them to knock on your door and make sure you're not using your gas stove. But that wasn't the headline. That wasn't the takeaway. Finally, someone got to ask the president of the United States if he would condemn the people who were calling for the death of the United States, the people who were attacking Jewish kids just for, you know, looking Jewish. And of course, he blew it. He is just so pathetic, I'm telling you. I wasn't going to start with this today because it's so pathetic, but I have to. We have to understand what a just a soulless, empty shell of a man is in the White House. I mean, I say this all the time. I'll say it again. He's terrible at the job. We know that. He's terrible at every aspect of the job. But the thing he's worst at is the easiest thing. Just make a statement. Yes, I condemn anti-Semites. I condemn people who are rooting for terrorists, who, by the way, are holding Americans hostage. People who killed Americans on October 7th. Savages, subhumans, who killed children, who burned babies, who raped corpses. Those people, yes. Could you condemn those? The people cheering for those savages? How hard is that? I mean, even if you're just even if you have dementia, even if you're corrupt, even if you're a terrible president, all you got to do is say, yes, I condemn them in the strongest possible way, period, and move on, shuffle away, go over with AOC and talk about, you know, saving the planet. But he can't do it. He's just so vapid, so vacuous. Nothing matters to him but the next election in 6 months. So these people who are burning our flags, they're bad, but they're not the only ones. This was an incredible moment. It really was. This is a president who claims he decided to run for president after Charlottesville, after white supremacists or white nationalists or whatever they're calling, carried tiki torches and marched on Charlottesville. And Trump said he condemns the white nationalists, the white supremacists, condemns them completely. But the debate over the statues, tearing down statues, he said there are fine people on both sides. Obviously, that's on record. That's on video. But it doesn't stop Biden from lying about it over and over and over again, saying Trump said white supremacists are fine people. He didn't do that. We all know he didn't do that. But it doesn't stop this guy from just lying about it constantly. Anyway, what we got yesterday was Joe Biden's fine people moment. Yes, he condemns anti-Semites, but he also condemns, you know, the other side, which is just remarkable, which is just despicable. It really is. This is a look into the soul of a man who essentially has no soul, has no core convictions, has no genuine beliefs. What can I say today to make sure I don't lose my radical fringe? What can I say today to make this woman next to me, AOC, happy? What can I say to make sure I don't lose Michigan, which I desperately need? And so he went there. Yes, he went there. This is a remarkable moment. Let's watch, let's listen, and let's, you know, break it down and analyze it. Go ahead.
And the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
Okay, let's... if you missed the end, the reporter asks, should the president of Columbia resign? And he says, I didn't know that. So he can't even answer that. He doesn't even understand the question. But more importantly, yes, I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. He said it. Of course, he has to. Who doesn't condemn people who are saying death to America, who are saying, Hamas, we love you, while Hamas is holding Americans hostage? But then he says, I also condemn the people who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. What is he talking about? Who is he talking about? There are two sides to this. Yes, the side that hates America, wants to burn it to the ground. And then there's the other side. In this case, it's Jewish students who are being attacked, or it's people who love America, who wave the American flag, who denounce Hamas. He wouldn't just unequivocally condemn terrorists. That's the president of the United States. That's what he did yesterday. Just a remarkable moment and a revealing moment. He doesn't care that they're holding Americans. He doesn't care that they savagely murdered 1,200 innocent people on October 7th. He doesn't care that Hamas today is using civilians as human shields, hoping Israel kills more of their own people because that helps them win the PR war. It doesn't matter to him. Just amazing. I got a question, though. What is it? What are the people who don't understand what the Palestinian people, what are they doing today? Are they protesting? Are they violent? Are they burning flags? Are they attacking people in New York City? In New Haven, on campuses around the country? What are they doing that must be condemned? People who don't understand? I mean, why don't you enlighten us? What don't they understand? What are they doing that must be condemned? He can't answer that. Only one side is acting out. Only one side is violent. We saw that last night. If you haven't heard the latest, the protests moved to NYU in Lower Manhattan, and it was violent. They were going after the cops. They were burning flares and chanting their support for Hamas. There were 108 arrests last night after this protest at NYU, another campus that has been taken over by terrorist sympathizers in this country, in New York City. And the president says nothing. Says nothing. I mean, even his demeanor is just offensive. You can't get angry. You can't get offended at what they're doing in our biggest city. You can't get offended at what they're doing at college campuses. I mean, I was waiting for him to say, you know, for all those students who are protesting, don't worry about those student loans. We got your back. That would be an appropriate response from this empty vessel. But he makes this appearance with AOC, who's the leader of the Democrat Party at this point, who's a radical fringe left-wing nut and a moron. She goes up to the mic at this Earth Day event, and she talks about the protests. Does she condemn them? In New York City, this is a woman who represents New York City. I mean, she represents an area that's completely downtrodden and doesn't care about that area because she's got bigger things. She talks about the protests. She supports them. A prominent Democrat congresswoman from New York supports the anti-Semites, the anti-American rabble that is just stirring up trouble everywhere in this country right now. She's all in. Let's listen to AOC, this idiot, talk about the protests in her home city. Go ahead.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
Peaceful. She said it. She went there. They're going there again. They're claiming they're peaceful when we see with our own eyes a woman, a Jewish student at Yale, got jabbed in the face with a flagpole in the eye. She got hit in the eye. She's talked about it. She's made the rounds on cable news. She calls that peaceful. We saw the blockades where they wouldn't let Jewish kids walk across campus. They canceled classes at Columbia, in-person classes, and went remote because it's not safe for Jewish kids. And a congresswoman from that area says they're peaceful protests and praises them. Yes, the Democrats went there. They're on the side of the pro-Hamas protesters. They're on the side of people who chant death to America. I guess I give AOC credit for being honest. I mean, others like Ayanna Pressley and Katie Porter have run from this. They won't say anything. She said, yes, she's on their side. She supports the peaceful protests. If you saw a video from last night marching in Lower Manhattan, they're not peaceful. They're not protests. They're riots. These are troublemakers, agitators, and they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. Just like George Floyd, they're not going to stop, and they shouldn't stop, according to the Democrats. Right after AOC says this, Biden takes the mic and says that he doesn't say she's right in his own way. He does. He supports her. After
it is especially important.
The terrorists. Can we listen to Biden take the mic after that idiot finished her full-throated support of the protesters? Go ahead.
And Representative Ocasio-Cortez in New York, you know, I learned a long time ago, listen to that lady. We're going to talk more about another part of the world, too, real quickly.
Yeah, another part of the world, the Middle East. So AOC, this bird brain, says she supports the peaceful protesters, and he's going to talk to her about the Middle East, about Israel, about Gaza, once he's done hugging trees in the woods of Virginia. This is who's controlling the executive branch. This is who's controlling this pathetic puppet in the White House. AOC, Ayanna Pressley, Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, and fellow Katie Porter, Bernie Sanders, Ed Markey. They're the ones steering the ship. And that is bad news for Jewish kids on campus. Because, again, we all know who's responsible for every civilian death in Gaza. It's some kid in New Haven trying to get a degree in economics or engineering. It's his fault that Israel's killing civilians. And by the way, I'll say it again. I'll say it every day. They're killing fewer civilians in this war than we did in Iraq or Afghanistan or World War II. In fact, you can't find a conflict in modern times where an army, a military, is taking greater measures to avoid civilian casualties. I've had it up to here with people saying, oh, they're committing genocide. Sure. It's the first genocide in history where the invading army is dropping leaflets, bringing in thousands of truckloads of humanitarian aid, providing corridors for safe passage to the people that they're, you know, trying to genocide. It's just insane where, at this point, that there's two sides in this conflict. There's good and bad. There's good and evil. And our president is taking the side of the bad guys, of the evil people who killed civilians, who killed Americans, who hold American hostages. Once again, this pathetic old man makes a public appearance and doesn't mention the hostages, doesn't care about the hostages. He doesn't care about anybody, doesn't care about the soldiers and Marines. He got killed at Abbey Gate. He doesn't care about Gold Star families. He doesn't care about them. He doesn't care about Lake and Riley. Why? Because it doesn't help him win Michigan. That's all that matters to this buffoon right now. And it's a sad day. This is really, really a sad day in America when our president can't unequivocally condemn the anti-Semitic, anti-American protests breaking out all across the country. And it's going to get worse. They're emboldened. They know it. They know there's no real price to pay. They know they'll get booked. They'll be out 5 minutes later and back on the front lines. There's a video, a picture from the encampment at Columbia, which is going full force. They're not stopping. And there's a couple of stacks of bricks that somebody dropped off. We know these are funded by outside forces, evil forces, Soros types. They're going to raise the game here. They're gonna keep going. They're not going to stop. And neither is the IDF. The Israeli army is going into Rafah. They're going to finish the job. They don't care that this fool, this pandering puke, has sold them out. They're going to finish the job. And that's not going to go well. We're going to hear about nothing but the civilian deaths and the poor starving children when Israel goes in there and tries to wipe out Hamas. That's their goal. That's their objective. They're not going to stop. And neither are the protesters. This is going to get much, much worse. And it's going to be a mess for this guy. He's going to continue to side with the radicals, with his fringe kook base in the squad, with the media that's going to pressure him to condemn Israel and support Hamas. Hostages be damned. We don't care about those hostages. They're just collateral damage in his effort to win Michigan and to win Minnesota and Pennsylvania. That's what's most important. All right, before we
last
move on,
year was Earth Day's hottest day on record.
Hold on. Let me set that up. He was there to talk about the made-up climate change crisis, which, of course, is, you know, his favorite thing. And AOC and Bernie and Markey, I'll say it again, the Callahan rule on climate change. The louder someone screams about climate change, the dumber they are.
Yeah,
that's the rule. The dumber they are, the louder they scream about the made-up climate crisis. And you had the four best examples. You had Biden, Sanders, Ed Markey, AOC, in the woods of Virginia, screaming about climate change. And I guess, you know, we should believe them, because last year, Earth Day was the hottest day on record. Or did he say the hottest year? Whatever. Let's play it again.
Last year was Earth Day's hottest day on record.
Last year was Earth Day's hottest day on record. So April, whatever, 2020, whatever it was, 22nd, was the hottest day on record. Again, just completely made up, complete, just... He's got, again, six or seven thoughts in that decaying brain, and he blurts out one or two every day. Same things. Charlottesville, you know, white supremacy, trickle-down economics, and Earth Day or climate change. As we know, climate change killed his son, Bo, so it means a lot to him. You know, it hits home. But My idea yesterday, Trump didn't listen. He should have listened. We'll get to Trump because this Trump trial is going to go off the rails. They're going to try to put him in prison. But my idea yesterday, and I think it's a good one, Trump should have gone right from the courtroom to the campus of Columbia, should have made an appearance with Jewish kids at the campus, walked across campus, made a little speech. He would have, it would have been as successful as the bodega appearance last week in Harlem. But I want to take it a step further. He should invite his good friend, Bob Kraft, to appear at the on the campus of Columbia. Kraft is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, benefactors. He donates millions. The football field is named after him. There's another building, which he said provides safe spaces for Jewish kids, named after Bob Kraft on the campus of Columbia. So the owner of the Patriots has said, he's done. No more money for Columbia. That's the way to do it. We need lots of Bob Krafts. We need everybody, all decent people. I don't care if you're Jewish or you're Muslim. All decent people have to say, that's not the school that I went to or the school that I've supported all these years. I'm done. They should demand the firing of the president, and they should demand they clean up that place. That would hit home for Columbia, which has an endowment of $13 million. Harvard has $50 million endowment. Yale has $40 million. So Columbia's big, not as big as Harvard. They should say, we're done. No more money for you. Well, here's what you got to do, Bob. You got to take it a step further. You got to go to Columbia. You're in New York. You got to walk across campus with these Jewish kids who are living in fear of these mobs. And why not? Bob Kraft and Donald Trump are good friends. We know that. Kraft doesn't come out and, you know, make it public all the time for obvious reasons. Like most businessmen, they're afraid of the backlash. But that would be powerful. Kraft and Trump together on the campus. But can we listen to, do we have any Kraft last night?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just can't believe in New York City at Columbia University, Jewish students are afraid to go to classes. It's just in the United States of America in 2024, it's amazing to me and horrible. And I just, you know, and there's somehow the organization of non-Columbia students getting on campus, coming there with their faces covered, you know, say they're, by the way, they're both professors and students within the university who say things that I think cross the line, and there should be accountability. I believe in free speech, say whatever you want, but pay the consequences and don't have your face covered. I don't think that should be allowed.
They're not your friend, Bob. They're not your friend. But he was also saying he's done with Columbia, and that's what he and everybody who gives that disgusting place money just cut them off. Cut them off, Bob. They're not worthy of your donations. But
he's treating Columbia like he's treating Bill Belichick.
Yes. Well, he should. he should treat Belichick better. Yeah. But he should. Everybody should. You should just say, we're done. That place is just a hotbed for radicals. There are people there who are just, they're literally holding posters. Before I move on, I want to mention this because it's just so disgusting. Holding posters of a man named Waleed Dakar. He's a Palestinian who died in prison, in an Israeli prison last week or recently from cancer. They're holding posters of his picture like he's a martyr. You know what he did? He was a terrorist. He was serving life. They killed a 19-year-old Israeli kid. They didn't just kill him. He directed this. He was the leader of the terrorists who killed this kid named Moshe Tamam in 1984. I'll just read you the passage. Tamam's killers gouged out his eyes, mutilated his body, and castrated him before taking him to the olive grove and shooting him dead. They did that to a 19-year-old kid because he was Israeli. That man, you'll see it. Look at one of these protests. They hold posters with his picture. They call him a martyr. That's what they're doing at Columbia and at Yale and at Berkeley and at Northwestern and hundreds of other campuses. They're honoring, celebrating this monster who died, hopefully painfully, in an Israeli prison. All right, we got to get to the Trump trial. This could be the day. This could be the day they put him in chains, put him in leg irons and handcuffs and march him away. And I want to point out, I'm going to get to this. The biggest lie, obviously, the mainstream media lies every day. It's what they do. They lie over and over again in service of the Biden regime and against Donald Trump. But this one drove me nuts, and it was exposed yesterday, big time. And we told you yesterday, Massachusetts is the most expensive place to live, to raise a family. We'll explain to you how it's going to get worse. That's today's theme. All these really bad situations, they're going to get worse. And you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to praise Alec Baldwin. I always kind of like that guy. And he belongs in prison, but not for what he did yesterday. What he did yesterday, I'm going to defend. I'm going to support. We'll get to that and more. But first.
Excuse me.
Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day. That's it. Tastes great. I like the raspberry lemonade flavor, and it has completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way nature intended. You know what I do? I replace my afternoon cup of coffee, which I really don't need, with Field of Greens. Get way more energy throughout the day, sleeping better throughout the night, healthier hair, healthier skin. It helps with digestion. My stomach feels better, feeling better and healthier overall. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy, and you can too. I promise you're going to love this product, but if for any reason you don't, they will give you 100% money back. I got you 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Jerry. That's promo code G-E-R-R-Y at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. All right, before we move on to the Trump trial, I got to read this. I'm looking at the story about this martyr, the 62-year-old guy who castrated a 19-year-old kid and then gouged his eyes out. And I'm just looking at the Amnesty International, as we know, total left-wing group, total anti-Semitic group. Here's their tweet about Waleed Dakar. This is remarkable. This is what Israel is up against every day. Amnesty International tweets, the death in custody of Waleed Dakar, a 62-year-old Palestinian writer who was the longest-serving Palestinian prisoner in Israeli jail after 38 years of imprisonment, is a cruel reminder of Israel's disregard for Palestinians' right to life. That's how they write. That's the whole tweet about a guy who gouged the eyes out, castrated an Israeli teenager and shot him in the head, killed him. That's what they write when this piece of garbage passes away. That, again, is what you're dealing with if you're Israel. That kind of dishonesty, just despicable. Speaking of dishonesty, I got to get to this. I've been watching the coverage of the Trump trial on every network. I flip around. I like to see how they're handling things on CNN and MSNBC. It really is entertaining because everybody knows the crimes, the 34 felonies Trump is charged with in the New York case is completely made up. Everybody knows there's no crime. Everybody knows NDAs, paying porn stars to go away, is illegal. Everybody knows this is ridiculous. Brought by a DA who usually downgrades felonies to misdemeanors. Instead, he has a misdemeanor where the statute of limitations ran out, and he elevates it to 34 felonies, hoping he'll get a jury full of Trump haters. He has a judge who's just a visceral Trump hater. And he knows if he gets the right jury, he will convict Donald Trump and hopefully, in his mind, stop him from challenging Joe Biden. So everyone knows on every network that the whole thing is ridiculous. It's made up. It's election interference. It's lawfare. It's insane. What's happening in this New York courtroom? They're keeping Trump tied up for 6 to 8 weeks while Joe Biden goes out there and campaigns. That was the goal, and that's what they're doing, and everybody knows it. Joe Scarborough knows it. Dana Bash knows it. Anderson Cooper, they all know it, and they're all playing along because they hate Trump. That's it. That's your analysis of the Trump trial. The whole thing is absurd. Hell, yesterday they cut the day. They ended early because an alternate juror had a toothache. This is a trial where they're not going to let Donald Trump go to Washington for his hearing before the Supreme Court. They're not going to let him go to his son's graduation from high school. But they called the case because an alternate juror had a toothache. That was yesterday. But I've been watching for a couple of weeks now, and every time he says this whole thing is directed by Joe Biden in the White House, which it obviously is, all the cases are, they get apoplectic. There's no evidence. They actually say, I've watched this, the reports, they say Trump falsely claimed that Joe Biden's behind this. Well, yesterday, the opening statement for the prosecution was delivered by a guy named Matt Colangelo, who was the number three guy in the DOJ under Joe Biden, who was working at the DOJ under Joe Biden, who decided to take a new job in the DA's office and go from being a high-ranking member of the Department of Justice to being a line prosecutor in New York in a local DA's office. He did that for the sole purpose of getting Trump. That's what this guy's been doing his whole career, this guy Colangelo. He delivered the opening statement for Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg has a team of dozens of prosecutors. He chooses this guy who flew in from D.C., whose sole purpose in life is to put Trump behind bars. And that guy is leading the prosecution. So we're done with this notion that Joe Biden is not directing this. This is from the other day, from Sunday, I believe. Dana Bash with Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota and a Trump supporter. Listen to how this alleged news person, this journalist, handles it when Kristi Noem says Joe Biden is directing this, which was proven unequivocally, indisputably, yesterday when Joe Biden's guy did the opening statement. They're going to stick to it. They're going to say Joe Biden has nothing to do with this when it was proven that he does, that this is on orders from D.C., clearly. And Trump says it every day, and they can't handle it. Watch this.
They need a leader in the White House who gets up every day and puts them first and doesn't raise their taxes, yeah, doesn't overregulate them, take away their freedoms, and give all our money to other countries instead of making sure that we're taking care of America first and keeping us safe and secure.
I just want to say for the record, there's absolutely no evidence that President Biden is involved in this. This is a case that is being brought in the state of New York by the Manhattan DA.
That's what I think is remarkable, is that if you look at President Biden and what he's done and what his son has done and the fact that
has nothing,
they are not being prosecuted
That has nothing to do with this. My question is
true, completely different.
Yeah.
We have a judicial system right now that's being used against certain members of certain parties.
My other point that I want to make, Governor, is
to have a two.
You mentioned that he's saying his legal.
Bringing up the comparison. I mean, they don't do any Biden story without bringing up Trump. So they're doing a Trump story. Kristi Noem brings up Biden. No, that has nothing to do with this. Of course it does. We found out yesterday the documents case is being handled from the Biden White House. They and the National Archives. The whole thing was a trap to get Trump on the classified documents case, which is coming up and which will fall apart just like this is. But the Matt Colangelo was the assistant, was the acting associate attorney general, the number three guy in the DOJ. And he's now the lead prosecutor in New York in a local case. And this clown, Dana Bash, says there's absolutely no evidence. All they do is lie. That is just incredible to me. Well, today, Donald Trump could end up in handcuffs because, you know, he violated the gag order, which only applies to him. The lead witness, the totally disgraced Michael Cohen, can go on CNN, can go on MSNBC every day. He does a podcast where he just goes, says over and over again, Trump's a liar, Trump's a criminal. But Trump can't defend himself. Trump can't point out that the judge donated to Biden. He can't point out that the judge's daughter has raised tens of millions of dollars on this case for Democrats. Trump points that out, he can go to jail. And I don't see any reason to believe he won't try to put him in jail. Where's the evidence that Mershon will not take the next step and order Trump to jail if he violates, or he's already violated, the gag order? So this is going to get really nasty. And by the way, it's going to get wild when Cohen testifies or Stormy Daniels testifies. Trump's lawyers are going to tear them apart. Unfortunately, we have no cameras. We got these stupid sketches like it's 1957. We don't get to see and hear what's going on in the courtroom, but it is going to get crazy. And today, I believe Mershon's going to rule on the gag order. Here's what they're hoping. They're hoping Trump ends up in jail, obviously. I just watched a lawyer on CNN, some legal analyst, say the solution here is house arrest with an ankle bracelet to keep him from going anywhere, keep him from campaigning. Even in New York, he would order to go right from court to his home at Trump Tower and not leave until the next day when he has to be back in court. That's the plan. It's absolutely insane and unjust, but they don't care. Which brings me to Benny Thompson and the Democrats. They don't want Trump convicted. They don't want him derailed. They don't want him to lose the election. They want him dead. They want him dead. That's the next logical step. I mean, if they can't put him away and stop him from running in November, they want to hurt him. This was amazing. Got very little coverage, but this is from the other day. Representative Benny Thompson from Mississippi, prominent Democrat, leader of the sham January 6th committee, introduced legislation that would strip Secret Service protection from convicted felons sentenced to prison, a bill clearly aimed at President Donald Trump. They want to strip him of his Secret Service protection. And you know why? Because the Secret Service will not allow him to be imprisoned. Their job is to protect him. You can't send him to Rikers. Secret Service would say no. And if you did, they'd have to clear out like a wing of the prison and have it have Secret Service all over the place to accommodate one guy. So they know that's untenable. So they're going to have a bill to strip him of Secret Service protection, which is just so dark and nefarious when you think about it. This is the same people who will not provide RFK Jr. with Secret Service protection. Again, Biden's grandchildren have Secret Service protection, but RFK Jr., whose father and uncle, I've heard, were assassinated, who's a real threat to Joe Biden, they won't protect him. They want these guys dead. It's some real dark, sick, twisted stuff going on right now. But we'll be watching, looking forward to Trump getting shackled and then seeing his numbers go up, poll numbers go up. It's a dilemma if you're Trump. I mean, you don't want to be in court, but every day you're in court, you get more support, and it's more revealing of just how sinister the Biden regime is. All right, we got to get to this. The face of the Massachusetts Democrat Party, the reason why it is so expensive, why it's unaffordable to live in this state. We'll get to that. And we will tell you about Alec Baldwin, who's winning me over, I have to admit, the first. Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning, and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here, and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Bravia Secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia Super Concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. All right, we told you that Massachusetts... To live comfortably for a family of four, they have to make $300,000 a year in Massachusetts, the most expensive state in the union, more expensive than California or New York. And if you live here, you know it. It is not easy, not an easy place to get by. But now we know why. I mean, tell me this is not the face of the Massachusetts Democrat Party right now. I have to, you know, have to hand it to Maura Healey. She won the votes. She got elected. The people of Massachusetts want this, and they're getting what they voted for. This is the Department of Transportation Secretary. This is a cabinet official in Massachusetts. Her name is Monica Tibbetts Nutt. Monica Tibbetts hyphen Nutt. That is literally her name. And I don't even know what she identifies as. If you're watching along, she has a buzz cut. We used to call it a wiffle. She has a man's suit on. I think she's married, but I'm not sure to who. It doesn't matter. But she is so honest. I'll give her that. She's honest. She wants to come after everybody, literally everybody who works for a living, everybody who drives into the city, everybody who pays taxes. That's the goal. Already, Massachusetts is the most expensive place, and she wants to make it more expensive. Just a few of her ideas, which I'm not sure she knew this thing was going to go viral, that she was on camera and everyone was going to see it. But she wants to raise the state payroll tax. She wants to raise excise taxes. She wants new tolls on the highways in Massachusetts. She wants to find a way to make it impossible to drive a pickup truck. Yes, you heard that right. She wants to charge more for Uber and Lyft rides. She wants to tax package delivery services. She wants more speeding tickets and fewer warnings. She wants to find any way possible to bleed taxpayers dry. She's not happy that it's the most expensive place. She wants it to be more expensive. That's it. And she said it out loud. This is one of the most disturbing videos. There's a few of them out there, compilations of some of the craziest stuff she said. But let's listen to the Secretary of the Department of Transportation. You thought Pete Buttigieg was bad. Are you kidding me? He's a fiscal conservative compared to this lunatic. And again, if you're not watching along, she looks exactly like you would expect. By the way, I mean, this is the problem. Maura Healey's just picking, you know, her friends and like-minded radicals. Maura Healey just swore into a judge in, was her former lover. She rewarded her former lover with a judgeship, a lifetime appointment, I believe yesterday. But that's a story for another day. Today we focus on, who does she look like? She looks like somebody.
I'll have it figured out by the end of this video.
Urkel, little Urkel look about her.
Maybe.
She looks like, you know, a linebacker. Listen to this nut named Nutt. Go ahead.
Gigantic trucks and gigantic SUVs, but also now these pickup trucks, like the Ford F-150 gazillion. I am terrified that they're going to just squish me like a bug and not even notice. And they're all over our cities.
Very reasonable. They're massive.
Is there anything that DOT can do to help protect us a little bit from them, or at least disincentivize people from buying them?
The problem is we can't. They're already so expensive. I mean, that's just true. We can't price them high enough or put enough fees on them enough that's going to stop the type of person who wants to buy that car. And I am 100% passing judgment on someone who wants to drive basically an 18-wheeler as their personal car. We have no control over it.
Hold on. She's talking about people who drive F-150s, which is one of the most popular cars, might be the most popular in the country, many of whom need it for work. She's not talking about F-250s or 350s or, you know, Hummers. She's talking about F-150s, which are everywhere, which are great cars, great trucks, and which people need to do their jobs. That's the way she looks at people working for a living, paying taxes. She's quote unquote passing judgment on them and comparing them to 18-wheelers. She's not only radical and totalitarian, she's an idiot. Think about that. An F-150, I used to have one. Some of my best friends have them. They're not 18-wheelers. They're everywhere. And she wants to find a way to stop people from buying them and driving them. Those are the people that pay her salary. Without F-150 drivers, they don't have near the revenue. You couldn't pay for all the programs. You couldn't keep all your friends on your payroll if not for F-150 drivers, who she compares to semis, to tractor trailers. God, this person is scary, but she's not true. She's got a lot of ideas on ways to just rob you blind. Go ahead.
Legally, there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, you know, I don't think we can do that either. That's federal highway.
She said require a CDL, in case people didn't hear that.
Yeah, no, that's federal highway. We can't do that.
How about touching the excise tax?
I'm going after that.
Like for these.
Oh, that's already on my list. You don't need to worry about that.
So, yeah, let's think about this heavier vehicles.
That might do it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's not a bad idea. I did not agree to it. I just said it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That I will actually look and see if any other state's done it.
Right. Also, maybe think about on the local, New York is doing something right now.
Do you think I don't have their entire playbook? I do. I'm just going to go down through their list.
Michael.
She's laughing, trying to think of ways to make it more expensive, to make it more difficult to make a living in this state. Oh, that's not a bad idea. And she actually says, I don't think we can do that legally. Then she goes on. She's in front of a group of, you know, fellow travelers who want to make it impossible to own a pickup truck in this state.
A CDL for a pickup truck.
Yeah, she wants you to require a commercial driver's license to drive an F-150. I mean, that's what she's saying publicly. Imagine behind the scenes, the idea she has. Imagine somebody who's supposed to be serving the public saying, we need more speeding tickets. We need to raise more revenue through speeding tickets. She says she's going to use state policy to, quote, use it 100% use it as a weapon. Policy of the Department of Transportation to milk everyone for every nickel to continue to pay for the bloated bureaucracy. Just insidious. And the backlash led Maura Healey to say she doesn't want more tolls, or at least not on the New Hampshire line, because one of the ideas for this whiffle-headed lunatic was tolls on the New Hampshire line. So people coming into the city, coming into the state to work and, you know, pay taxes, it's not enough. Not enough that they have the highest cost of living in the country. She wants more, and she'll never stop. She makes 200 grand, and her sole objective is going after the people who pull the wagon and to accommodate the people in the wagon. She's just frightening. That woman is frightening.
Speaking of frightening, before we go, we got to get to Alec Baldwin.
Yes, we do.
Now, Alec Baldwin, you know, he's just an awful person. He's facing charges, you know, for shooting his colleague, his coworker in New Mexico in the movie set Rust. But Alec Baldwin, you know, he lives in New York and he's out and about. He doesn't hide. He deals, you know, he gets harassed all the time. And generally, you know, sometimes he fights back. Sometimes he has something to say. Well, he got harassed in a coffee shop by a Biden supporter who demanded that he denounce Israel. And I'm watching this. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I was expecting Baldwin to play along because we know he's a big Democrat, big Biden supporter. She's demanding that he denounce Israel, say free Palestine. We'll watch because Alec, he reacts, I think, the way I would react to this. And I don't blame him one bit. Yeah, if you're just listening, he's in a coffee shop and you know it's New York because the barista has a mask on. And it's what you'd expect in New York City, in Manhattan. But watch and listen as this punk tries to get him to, you know, recite the talking points from the pro-Hamas crowd. Go ahead.
Alec, can you please say free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec?
Sorry.
No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time.
He's ready to leave.
One time.
Stops.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a fucking criminal. Come on, Alec, just say free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please.
God,
and I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Fuck Israel, fuck Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Sarah, could you give me one quick favor? Ooh. He gives her a left jab to the phone. That was a pretty good smack. It was quick. I didn't see it coming. And he knocks the phone out of her hand. And she'll probably sue him and didn't have to apologize or give her some money.
Have to pay out.
But he was halfway out the door and he was thinking, I should walk away, but he can't help himself. And in this case, I don't blame him. Those who, you know, to wrap this up, those are who Biden supports. That's AOC's, that's their people. Say F Israel and I'll leave you alone. That's who we're talking about. That's who we're dealing with. That's who's marching through New York with flares and torches right now, demanding that we support terrorists who are holding American hostages. Not that Joe Biden, maybe Joe Biden doesn't even know that they have hostages. Maybe he doesn't. If he knows, he doesn't care. Clearly, that's what we learned yesterday.
I think Alec Baldwin's learning from his mistakes, though, because that is not the most lethal thing he's done to someone holding a camera.
That's true, although I don't think he was packing. I don't think he was strapped.
Yeah, it was a pretty good jab.
He had a phone. He says, you know what? I should walk away, but this person is just so annoying. And smack.
I mean, it's not the first camera he's punched either. I feel like he's had a history of that, long history of that.
No, he doesn't. You know what? If he has to pay some money, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. By the way, all the protesters in New York, you know what motivates them other than the fact that they love Hamas? They'll get paid in the end. All the BLM, George Floyd rioters, got millions from the city of New York. They know if they sue, they know the system, the judges, the DAs are on their side. So in the end, I will predict within a year, all the people marching through New York, supporting terror, burning American flags, they'll end up making money. You watch. But that's Joe Biden's America. But that will do it for today. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.